Good morning. I'll have to tell you, Tim looked at my Bible this morning and said, we're going to have a short sermon today. Might be a little bit deceiving. We're glad that you're here. And if you'd like to open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to read a few verses there in just a few moments as our beginning place for our study. As John was talking about a while ago, the singing, and in the little country place that he was talking about that he went, back years ago, I, along with several others, went down to Florida College for their lectureship. And along on Friday, I guess it was, Friday evening, all the people gathered in the auditorium for singing. I guess there were between 400 and 500 people probably in that auditorium. Now, you're talking about singing. That just makes the hair rise on your head, up and down your spine. But to me, that was some as good a singing as I've heard on earth, I think, was there. And it's just a beautiful time, and it makes you think what a joy it's going to be around the throne of God and sing with all those who've been redeemed through the ages. I appreciate John leading that song that he did just before the service today. I had asked him if he would do that, because today we're going to be talking about, does Jesus care? And we'll be using some of the things from the verses of the song that will be in our study today. We'll read from 1 Peter chapter 5 to begin with, and begin with me with verse 6, and we'll read down through about verse 11 as a beginning point for our study. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same affliction is accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we'll be referring back to that passage, but there are several other passages that we'll be using today, so keep your Bible handy where you can turn with me in those passages that we turn to. So often we become discouraged in our life, and sometimes we kind of get discouraged and don't really know really why we are discouraged. Some mornings you wake up and you had a good night's sleep, but somewhere or other you just feel like you're down, and you don't understand why that you're down. And so that seems to be a part of us. We get discouraged along the way. And as a result, one thing leads to another. And we often say and do things rashly that we wouldn't otherwise do because we're feeling kind of down. And as somebody would say, down in the dumps. Most of us in this times like this and that type situation have said or do say, nobody cares. You know, whatever it is that we're feeling, nobody really cares whether of what's going on with us. The human emotional makeup is such as we desire someone to care. We want somebody to care. If we've got some kind of problem, even though they might not be able to do anything about that problem, we want them to be aware of what we're going through and to care that we are going through pain or suffering or whatever it is we may be going through. And even though they may not be able to help us out in whatever it is, yet we want them to care. We might not want to admit sometime that we desire someone to care. And I think that's one reason why that the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 that we're to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. Now that shows that we care. If I rejoice with somebody because they've had some good deed that's happened, then it shows that I care. If I weep with those who weep, then it shows that I care. And as I said, told somebody this morning, I've been kind of sad this week because Thursday I got a message from down in Alabama where I was preaching before I came up here that one of the young ladies there, 23 years old, had died from COVID complications. And so that's been kind of a sad note with me and this week. In Matthew chapter 25, in the scene of Jesus on his throne, being set on his throne, and all the nations being gathered before him, to me is one of the good places to show that we're to care. If you'll turn in Matthew chapter 25, down at verse 31, beginning in Matthew chapter 25. We'll read a few verses there and refer to these verses together. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. Let me get back one more page. Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides a sheep from the goats. And he shall say to the sheep on his right hand, the sheep shall be on his right hand, the goats on the left. And he shall say, the king shall say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Now to me, these verses here show the care. I was hungry, he said, and what did you do? You gave me food. You gave me meat. I was thirsty. You gave me drink. I was a stranger. You took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Is this not showing care? Is that not what this is showing in this particular place? Then shall the righteous say unto him, Lord, when did we see you like this? When did we see you sick or in prison or naked or alone? And he should say unto them, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And then he would turn to those on his left hand and say unto them, depart from me. In verse 41, then shall he say also to them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now notice, for I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer and say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then he will answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And verse 46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so here we see an example then of people who cared and people who did not seem to care. And Jesus said that inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. And so he expects us to live a life of care. We're to care for one another, see what we can do to help one another. But it is a blessing to have those who really care for us, to think there's somebody who cares. And just like in the case of the young lady that passed away this week, her family, to know that they're people that care for them. And I don't know how many messages they've gotten all over from different states encouraging them. And it helps to know that you've got friends that you can depend upon. But you know, that's not what we're talking about today. Our lesson today is not about whether we care. The lesson today is, does Jesus care? And we think about Jesus caring for us, and he's one that can do something about our feelings. He can help us out if we have a problem or whatever, and we know that he can help out. So the question is, does Jesus care? When I have problems, does Jesus care for me and the problems that I have? And we'll get into those individually here in just a moment. When we ask this question, we really get into the question of divine providence and spiritual comfort and the Christian refuge, Jesus being our Christian refuge. And we know that whenever we need strength, we rely upon him, we lean upon him. And things that we can't handle ourselves, we turn over to the Lord and ask him to take care of those things for us. Do what we can and then let the Lord take care of the rest. The song, Does Jesus Care?, asks this question. Each verse of the song will start out by asking, does Jesus care? And each verse then asks about a different area of Jesus' care. And so this is where our lesson will be. I think I have three different points that I want to make in this lesson this morning. And number one, we'll start out, does Jesus care when my heart is pained? When I have pain and sorrow, does Jesus really care? Many times we become so encumbered with the problems of this world and the cares of the world, we forget that Jesus does care. And we forget about all the things that he does for us. When we have financial problems, you know, maybe we've worked hard and we finally got our finances in order. We think we've got our head above the water. And all of a sudden, our car plays out and we have to have another car. And so here it puts us back in a bind again, and we're in a financial strain all over again. Or maybe the washing machine plays out, or the stove or something else. Maybe there's something in the way that gives us, causes us to have extra financial gain or financial strain that we did not have before. And so we're so concerned about that, whether we have enough finances to do what we need to do, that we forget about all the good things that God has given unto us. Or maybe it's job related. You know, back when I used to work in factories, it was always a rumor that there were going to be layoffs, or they were going to sell the company, or they were going to restructure or whatever, and your job would be done away with. And so there's always the worry there whenever you're living paycheck to paycheck like I used to, and depending upon that paycheck for that living. And so that job related thing, it can be where it's a strain also. We think, now I started to work at Caterpillar Tractor Company in Peoria, Illinois, first day of June in 1956. A year later I got laid off. It was a general layoff. That's, I don't know how many thousand people was laid off, but it was a year and 3 months before I was called back to work. And when you're depending upon a paycheck and you're out for a year and 3 months, it kind of puts you in a strain. And so you have a tendency to kind of worry about these things. Or maybe it's some physical thing that happens to you. Maybe something happens to where you can't perform the job that you once did. Maybe a back got hurt, or maybe a broken arm or broken leg or something that affected you where you couldn't handle the job that you did. I know of several people that have gotten injured, like the back injury in work, and it got to where they could not do the job that they had. So all these things are problems that we think about, and problems that bother us and that's on our mind. And Jesus knows that. We're indeed so sad for too sad for mirth or song, as it said there in verse 1 of the song. The way has become weary and long instead of enjoyable in the way that it ought to be. We sometimes seem to become where life is a strain, and we're tired of life to a degree. And it's at this time that we need to realize that, yes, Jesus does care. The Bible teaches us that Jesus cares when we have these pains, when we're worried about the different things there and wondering if we're going to have the things that we need to get by and for life to be as it ought to be. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And let's read a verse or two from Matthew chapter 6. Begin with me with verse 1 of Matthew. No, verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, how they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Or why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So does Jesus care about when we're paying? Yes, he does. Does he care if we're going to have enough things to get by with, to pay the bills and to live and take care of our family? Yes, he does. In Matthew chapter 10, and down at verse 29, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the earth or fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." So if God takes care of one sparrow, then we are of more value than many sparrows. So he will take care of us, and he does care for us. He cares when we experience physical trials as well and pain. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 12, and beginning at verse 5 of chapter 12, Paul says, "Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth to me to be, or heareth of me." Then he says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So here the Lord shows that sometime we have things that come upon us that's there for a purpose. And Paul knows that God cared. He went to God several times in prayer, often as he was praying for himself and for other people as well. But in Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, he says, "You know that because of physical infirmities, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise nor reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." And so Paul realized that there was the infirmities that was there. And as we'll see, sometime God, it's not because that he don't care that he doesn't give us the things that we may ask for. Paul asked that this thorn in the flesh might be taken away from him, but that was not the will of God. It was the will that was there for a purpose, and so he did not take it away. Sometimes we may ask for things that we don't really need, and the Lord knows when we need things and when we don't, when it's best for us. And so he may sometimes say no because we don't need that. And so it's not because he don't care, but because it was not his will that be done. Or sometimes we may be suffering as a result of sins that we have committed. Jesus cares for us, and his care is much like that of the care of a mother for a child. In Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." So God says that just about like a woman comforts her child, that's the way he comforts us as his children. Do you remember how your mother could comfort you, maybe just the words that she would say or just the touch when you were growing up and small and you weren't sick or wasn't feeling good or something, and just her voice or her touch would mean a lot to you? Well, we as children of God should realize the comfort that God gives unto us and the help that he gives to us when we are suffering that we don't even realize that he does. Jesus cares for everyone equally. Did you ever wonder how that parents with a large family could care for all the children the same? Well, I think they do. There's where they can. But Jesus did. And he does care for everybody alike. Matter of fact, he gave his life on the cross. He died for us that we might have everlasting life. And so he cares for us. I had an uncle and aunt that had 13 children. And you wonder how they could care for all 13 of them alike. But I think they did. I never did see any difference made in them. And so Jesus does too. He cares for all of us. He died on the cross, not just for me, but for you, for everyone that's upon the earth. Point number two, does Jesus care when my way is dark? Many times we do face fears. We face the fear of death. We face the fear caused by doubt and things of this nature. We worry about things often that doesn't ever come to pass. And this past year has been a good example of our worrying about the pandemic and about COVID and all this type of thing that's affected so many people. I saw one of the directors the other day of the health was talking about that we've never had a pandemic like this before. So back 100 years ago when the flu came through and killed so many people, it was nothing like the average then that it is now. He said there has been one out of every 500 Americans that has died in this pandemic, and it's never been that many before. And so we had reason maybe to be a little bit dark or to worry about things like that. But we do. We face fears, fear of death or doubts that we have that things are going to happen. You know, we hope that this next year will be a greater year than what this one was and what last year was. But we have no guarantee that it will be. And so we live every day as the Lord gives it to us and makes the most of each day and try to live a Christian whatever comes our way. In these times, one needs the blessed assurance of Jesus that he gives unto us. When Jesus left the earth to return to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit as a comforter to the apostles. In the book of John, in chapter 14, of the book of John, it talks about the comforter that Jesus was to send unto them. Chapter 14, and down at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so here we see that Jesus Christ, when he left to go back to the Father on high, that he gave the Comforter, that it might be a help to his to his people, his disciples, his apostles. He knew they were going to face a lot of difficult times. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea and Galatia and Samaria had peace and were edified and walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. The apostles would face a lot of difficulties. After Jesus went back, they would have the problem of establishing the church, preaching the gospel in places where it had not been preached before, preaching the gospel in places where they did not want it preached at that time. And so many of the apostles suffered persecution. Paul was stoned and left for dead at one time. They were put in prison. There a lot of things that they had to face, and Jesus knew that. And so he sent the Holy Spirit to be a comforter and to help them during this time of problems that they were having. Now, years later, as we try to live the Christian life, we're faced with problems also. And there's always things that the devil puts before us to try to cause us to stumble. And so we have to be strong like these people were and realize that Jesus does care and that he has sent the Holy Spirit to help us as well as the apostles. Jesus cared enough to send the Holy Spirit to help them. What a friend we have in Jesus. A friend is one that you can trust. One that you can confide in. Most of us have maybe one or two real friends that we can depend on if in time of trouble. But Jesus is a friend that's greater than anyone else can ever be. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, it said, A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And Jesus is that friend who sticks closer to us than a brother. He doesn't run off when we need him. He's there. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the last part of that verse says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now what kind of comfort is that? Jesus is always there for us. In another song that's titled Tell It to Jesus, the statement is made, "You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone." And that is true. We have no other such a friend as Jesus himself. We need to stand on the promises of Christ our Lord. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and to those who are called according to his purpose." And so we need to stand on his promises and realize that Jesus Christ is real, that Jesus Christ does care. Now, this does not mean that we'll never suffer any problems, because there were a lot of people here on the earth that were martyred for the name of Christ. There were some who were put in prison. There were some who were stoned. There were some who were sawed in pieces and all that. But in heaven, we shall be rewarded. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them who were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until the fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." And so in heaven then we are rewarded for our deeds, for the things that we do. And turning back to the book of John again, in the 14th chapter of the book of John, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 14, I think this really is an indicator of whether Jesus cares or not and how much he cares. John 14, beginning with verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Does Jesus care? Yes, indeed, he cares. Does he care when my way is dark? Yes, he does. He cares. Now, number 3, does Jesus care when loved ones die or loved ones pass away? Yes, he does. If you back up about 2 chapters in the book of John, back up to chapter 11, you'll find in the first part of that chapter that Jesus had received a message from Mary and Martha that their brother Lazarus was sick. And so Jesus waited a few days, and then he went to Bethany where they lived, which was just a short distance from Jerusalem. And in verse 17 of chapter 11 of the book of John, let's stop reading there and read a few verses together. "Then when Jesus came, he found that he," talking about Lazarus, "had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto the Lord, If thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever that you will ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again." And then she left there and went back to the house to tell Mary that Jesus had come. And so down to about verse 30 now, if you'll drop down there, we'll pick up with where Mary goes out to meet Jesus also. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, come and see. And verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Now, does Jesus care when we've lost a loved one? Yes, he does. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but still he was concerned. He was touched by the weeping of Mary and Martha and the Jews that was there, and of Lazarus being dead as well. And so he wept. Jesus does not raise people from the dead now like he did Lazarus back then. But he does comfort and console us through his word. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Does Jesus care when our loved ones die? Yes, indeed, he cares. The chorus to the song that we've been talking about, the verses there, does Jesus care when our loved one dies or when our way is dark or when we're pained and so forth? The chorus to this song answers those questions that the verse asks. And it says, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And yes, he does care. There's no doubt within our minds that he cares. And with that in mind, then we need to take the admonition of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, where it says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And this is where we started with our lesson to start with. Now, does Jesus care? Yes, indeed, he does. I found a poem that goes along with this lesson. I want to read that poem to you. The author is unknown. But the title of the poem is, The Lord Was There, Were You? And it goes like this. I came to the service Sunday. I walked up and down the aisle. I noticed that your seat was vacant, said the master with a smile. Yes, I was at home, I answered. Some folks from up the way drove down for a weekend visit, and we stayed in the house all day. Or I had an awful headache, or a roast was in the pan, or we overslept that morning, but we go whenever we can. I went to the morning service not over 2 months ago, but so much work must wait till Sunday that there's no time for church, you know. Looking up upon me sadly, the master began to speak. My child, are there not 6 other days in the week? If all the other children should treat me the same as you, the assembly would be deserted. Then what would the lost sinner do? I saw that I had grieved my master as slowly he turned away, and I vowed he'd not find me absent again on his holy day. Does Jesus care? Yes, indeed. Will he find you absent on his holy day, or will you be there worshiping him and doing what he would have you to do so that we can be pleasing in his sight? What a question to ask. Does Jesus care? Yes, indeed. By all means, he cares. Not just for me. He cares for you. He cares for everybody. Today, if you're not a child of God, he wants you to be. He died on the cross that you could have everlasting life, and he wants you to take advantage of that. So please think seriously as we stand and sing the song that's been selected. And if you need to obey the gospel in any way, if you've never obeyed the gospel, the baptistry's filled. It's ready for anyone who needs to be baptized. Or if you have drifted away after once obeying the gospel of Christ, the prayers of the saints are available at any time. So if you need to come, do that while we stand and as we sing together.